Well, hello, everybody, and welcome back to Radio Entrepreneurs, the reformatted version for the new economy. I like to think of it as a new economy. This is what people do in today's age. The majority of people in Massachusetts and New England are still working, finding ways to keep their employees engaged and working and providing services as things do adjust, but it is a new economy. You know, one of the people we're going to speak to next, one of the foundations of Radio Entrepreneurs, I think is dealing with a lot of companies that are adjusting in this economy, but also is adjusting himself to this economy because the whole field of law is changing as we speak. And specifically, I'm speaking about Mark Furman, director of Tarlow, Breed, Hart & Rogers. Welcome back, Mark. You look good. You look healthy.
Feeling good, Jeffrey, and great to be with you today.
Thank you very much. I guess I'm right in some ways. It's on one side, you're probably talking to clients every day about litigation and the economy and the business clients. But on the other side, one of the industries to me that seems to be changing as fast as any other today is the field of law.
Well, it is. We're hard at work, working remotely, and finding how productive we actually can be remotely, because we can see clients and advise them. We don't have to just talk to them on the phone. We can virtually meet with them. Businesses, as you know, are challenged by what's happened. Frankly, every business I know has been challenged. There are so many different issues that this brings up. Employment issues, safety concerns, obviously, what the process of reopening is going to look like, what about all the contracts that people entered into that can't be performed by the other side, all sorts of contracts, every imaginable kind of contract, real estate contracts, supply contracts, construction contracts, the list goes on and on. And I think it's a challenging environment, and I don't know any industry that hasn't been affected. It's a matter of degree, really, but everybody's been affected. And of course, the courts are not as open as they were. I mean, they're available for emergencies. And in fact, we have a telephone hearing on an injunction tomorrow on a case, but the court's got to view it as a real emergency.
You know, I think you put your finger on the button of what I've been hearing from a lot of companies, and that is sort of a lot of people have taken it upon themselves right now to unilaterally break contracts. I've heard about large corporations, I won't mention any here to get myself in trouble, that were on, contracts to pay within 30 days and unilaterally have moved to 90 days, even though they had a lot of cash. They're sort of hoarding cash at some of these big companies. And I've heard about it in real estate too, where people are sort of just breaking contracts. And, my feeling is it's never a good idea to break a contract unless both sides agree. Is that sort of a safe rule?
Yes. I mean, I think you want to, if you got a problem, you want to engage with the other side and try to explore whether an amendment to the contract can be negotiated. I think particularly where contracts are non-recourse, meaning there aren't personal guarantees, they're just contracts between company and company, I think if you got a problem, engage. And what I think, I get the idea of trying to hoard cash, because I think there's a real fear of what the third and fourth quarter is going to bring. You know, this quarter is, a lot of companies are getting the benefit of PPP money that will temporarily help with rent and keeping people employed. But the concern, I think, that I hear is, well, what about the third and fourth quarter as the economy inches back, as opposed to the someone shoots a gun in the air like the beginning of a race and all of a sudden it's back to March 1. It's not going to be like that. There's going to be restrictions, I think, on how many people can safely work in a particular space. What are the rules going to be? What do employers need to do to protect themselves against claims if people get sick who come back to work? You know, things like touchless bathrooms and doors and hallways that only go in one direction, not having everybody getting their coffee, pressing the buttons on the same machine over and over.
Perfect OCD world.
It is. It is going to be till there's a vaccine. You know, there's going to be a standard of care that employers are expected to. So I've veered off a little bit from your question, but this is just bringing, you know, you talk about a new economy. This really is a new economy, and they're going to be like in every other change, there's going to be winners and losers, and our system, capitalism, you know, that's what it does. It solves new problems as they arise.
It's adaptable.
And people will be handsomely rewarded who can solve, you know, society's problems now. And, you know, there are office buildings in the city of Boston that have been touchless for a long time. You know, we've had in the bathrooms in our building, they're all touchless and have been for a long time. So the technology is out there, even though the implementation hasn't been widespread, but I think it will be. I think there's also a big message for business owners, you know, to be, as they enter into new contracts. I'm not sure this is going to be the only pandemic we experience in our lifetime. Hope it is. You know, one of the things that this situation has shown the importance of are what's called force majeure clauses, which are provisions in many contracts that say performance can be excused if there's an act of God. And, you know, a lot of times clients will ask lawyers to, you know, just skim a 30 or 40 page document. You know, I want you to look at this, but don't spend any time on it. Just, you know, skim it. Well, you know, there's a devil in the details sometimes. And, you know, there's a great story going on. And this is the fight between Victoria's Secret and Sycamore, which entered into an agreement to buy Victoria's Secret. And Victoria's Secret had a force majeure clause. In corporate deals, they're sometimes referred to as material adverse changes and circumstances type of provisions, which basically say that if there's a material change in the buyer's business, the seller doesn't have to perform. So these can be heavily negotiated, although most of the time, clients don't want you to spend the time negotiating these deals. But Victoria's Secret in the purchase agreement negotiated that this clause, this force majeure clause, would not apply to a pandemic. So that really strengthens Victoria's Secret's position as Sycamore Partners tries to back out of its $525 million deal to buy a majority interest in Victoria's Secret. So you've heard me talk about boilerplate and how I hate when clients think of agreements as just boilerplate. They matter. And Victoria's Secret has the upper hand here because they got this exclusion in their agreement and dealing with a very sophisticated buyer that owns companies like Nine West, Anne Klein, Jones New York, and others. So, I hope that clients and companies, business owners, will understand the importance of making sure their contracts protect them as best they can.
Mark, let me ask you, in the short time we have left, you've always harped on us about operating agreements. And what I'm also seeing as a management consultant is right now, a lot of partners in businesses, executives feel that the crisis management means no rules or new rules. And they're working outside of an operating agreement or without an operating agreement. And this is going to also lead to problems. What's your feelings about people doing things unilaterally outside of their operating agreement right now? It's just going to be a windfall for attorneys again?
Well, it's going to cause problems for people who don't care about what the operating agreement says. I mean, that's a contract. That's a contract between partners. And but I will say, there's a difference between perhaps what legal agreements say and what survival requires. And sometimes there are circumstances that are so critical that, you have to be a little aggressive if it's really an existential threat to your business. And but in general, you can be liable to your partners for not complying with an operating agreement. I mean, if a partner turns out to have been engaged in awful misconduct that I wouldn't stand necessarily on ceremony, to the extent possible, you want to comply with your operating agreement. And the thing is, when you don't have one, which many businesses don't, because they just say, oh, well, we're going to do everything by consensus. Well, that works until there isn't consensus. There is a statute in every state that basically has a set of rules. They may not be the rules you want, but just like every state has written a will for you, it will get the money to people that the state has decided should get it, which may be totally different than what you would want. May be totally tax inefficient. It may give money to people who are too young to be able to manage money, but everybody, they've written wills for you. They've written operating agreements for you, whether you know it or not, but it's much better to have one and to comply with it.
Well, Mark, obviously a lot of things still going on in the economy, a lot of adjusting, a lot of potential legal issues. We appreciate your calling in regularly with us. If someone's looking for your perspective about how to proceed through this changing time, how would they find you at Tarla Breithart & Rogers?
I can be reached at mfurman, F-U-R-M-A-N, at tbhr-law.com or at 617 218-2025.
Well, Mark, you know, I think this whole process has been good for you because you're looking quite healthy, well-fed, rested. So whatever it is, and you're working, so whatever it is, keep it up.
Saving that two-hour day of commuting time, Jeffrey, is a positive. There's no question about it.
Well, we spoke to another reporter, Rich Hershen, earlier today, and he said he's used a quarter of a tank in 2 months in his car. And I've said I think I put more mileage on my bicycle than my car in the last 2 months.
Right.
So
right. I've certainly walked a lot more miles than I've driven. Very few miles.
It's a healthier world in some ways.
Yes.
So. Well, Mark, it's great to see you. You know, I always feel that way. You always strike a spark in my heart, and we look forward to talking to you again on Radio
Look Entrepreneurs. Forward to it. We'll be back soon.
Thank you. Remind everybody, this is Radio Entrepreneurs, more people tuning in than ever, and we're glad you did too. We'll be right back with more stories.